Yeah, okay. All right, so we'll call to order the infrastructure infrastructure committee. Do you have the thing going?
I do.
For August 27th. Minutes approval.
And I'll move approval of the minutes.
I will second that. We'll move on to new business. Oh, is there any public comment? Okay, so 4.1. Central Park Ring and Rock Foundation. Okay. How's your school year?
It's flashing.
I had sleep. It's in REM sleep.
It was ready about 10 minutes ago.
Does it have to be rebooted? Probably have to reboot it. Probably turned off.
The little light on the left here is flashing every time you push it.
Jeez, Jeff, did you have to break it?
It's my magnetic.
Well, I have a hard copy of it here.
Yeah.
Oh, is that just the power of the slideshow? PowerPoint?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Slide deck. Yeah, that's cool. Let's just move on.
It's just more fun to click the buttons.
Yeah.
I'll click the button when you turn the page.
Yeah, go ahead. You can go and use this. I can.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the Ring and Rock Fountain. It's been off for several years, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So a little background on the fountains out in front of Central Park. They were built in 1989 when the community center was under construction. Same year I started working for the city. The main rock fountain is on the front side facing the Al Costa. Ring Fountain is the one in the back patio where the gallery is located. The fountain ran for several years until 2007. We had to do some repairs on it, but then it broke down again, and so we turned it off for good in 2008 due to a mechanical failure. At the time, we were in a budget crisis. Economy was tanked. And so we decided not to repair it due to budget constraints. And
followed quickly by
the drought.
The drought.
So during the drought, it needed thousands of dollars worth of repairs. And then we had the drought and water restraints, so we decided to keep it off. So now it's been off for 10 years. On for 20, off for 10. And we've got all of the equipment, all the mechanical equipment down in the vault. The electrical equipment needs to be repaired, as well as there's a lot of cosmetic elements that need to be cleaned up. So we hired Gates to give us some alternatives on what can we do with the fountain, not being certain if we want to keep operating it as a fountain or turn it into something else. Mm-hmm. So if you look at page 3,
mm-hmm.
the main fountain, the rock fountain in the front. So what this does is it proposes to fill in the fountain, make modifications to add irrigation and drainage and fill it in with landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
And then the boulders would remain partially covered as part of the landscape element, and then it would create enough, there'd be enough wall height on the back so it could be signage or lighting or something put on there. That's the first concept.
Mm-hmm.
The second concept for the rock feature was to reduce the size of the water feature,
mm-hmm.
and add landscaping on the sides. thereby reducing the amount of maintenance on it. And then we go to the, so that's the two options there. Of course, the third option would be just repair what we already have. And then you look at the patio fountain, the ring. So the picture on the left shows what it looks like now. It's not operating. Mm-hmm. But concept one would be to replace the fountain with all landscaping, replace all the landscaping on that patio area, and mm-hmm. then add new walkway and seating. And then concept two, essentially.
By the way, those back, well, go ahead, and I'll get back to my comments.
Sorry?
Go ahead. Oh. I'm sorry. Okay.
So concept two then would be to replace the existing ring fountain with a different type of lower water use fountain. It'd be more of a waterfall cascading mm-hmm. over a rock wall. And then again, with this concept, all of the landscaping would be replaced, and seating would be added.
Okay. One of the things I would like to have considered in the back ring part, I noted from the both the pictures and the diagram that the building faces virtually due north, and because it faces north. In the summer afternoons, after June 21st, the equinox, you're going to get bright sunshine on that side of the building from, afternoon through sunset, which might make that patio hot and uncomfortable. And I would suggest that we at least consider some kind of shading back there, because I don't see it getting use in the mornings in general, and it becomes unusable in the afternoons because of the direct sunlight right. in the summers. Mm-hmm. So whatever we do on the back side, I'd like to add at least some shade. Structure, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if it's portable umbrellas or it's a couple of fixed things, but or it's a trellis. I mean, that's why we've got gates to help us out with those kinds of things.
Yeah, we can come up with different types of shade.
Right, but I'd like to see something there.
Okay.
And then in the notes it said that we would get some cost estimates for these things.
Yep.
Here.
It's in your PowerPoint.
Oh, it's in the PowerPoint. Okay, we haven't gotten that part. All right.
Hey, Jeff, let me ask you about some of the wall drawings just to get some kind of background about moving forward. So, looking at the front, the concept number one, uh-huh. and so on concept number one, you're going to have irrigation there at the site, right? You downsize that and you allow for this landscaping to be irrigated with. So you're going to have existing mechanisms and machinery there to get water.
Yeah.
And what I want to know on concept two is, you've downsized, and so we look at the cost numbers, okay? And so it's a smaller fountain, and I think that's a beautiful thing. There's two things here. There's form and function. One, the first concept one kind of pushes you out in a way. It's an entry. You're not going to go through it. If you look at it from afar, it'll stand out. This one kind of invites you up. My question is going forward on the cost of this and upkeeping this type of fountain now. Mm-hmm. Is it where, man, again, the first 3 years this thing's looking beautiful, and then here comes the problems? And then what would something downsize like this,
so this
maintenance-wise cost you? Talk to me about it.
This is the most expensive
concept
by a pretty significant amount.
Yeah, $275.
Because what they have to do is they have to retrofit and put irrigation in for the landscaping.
That's all part of it.
And then reconfigure the fountain. And of course, in order to put the fountain in there, we have to replace all of the fountain equipment. Essentially, it's building a brand new fountain using the part of the existing footprint that's already there, and then adding all new landscape around it. It would be less to maintain going forward than what we currently have out there, but it would be more than converting it to concept one.
Out there right now, refresh my memory, is that recycled water in any way?
No.
So you're having to pull, tell me how you propose to feed this fountain with water.
It's the same water connection that fills, that feeds the building.
There's no way.
It's a domestic line that's currently feeding the system. If it were running today, there's a line, there's a valve in there that I shut off personally for the fountain. It's strictly for fountain use. But it does come off of the domestic line.
So it's the same water connection
potable
to the
water.
Potable water that the building's on.
So this 275 doesn't get you a recycled water.
It's not recommended to
or
run
that it, does it recirculate
it
itself?
Recirculates, yeah.
It recirculates itself, so you're not okay. I mean, I think
right.
Okay, there's something there to that. So what about ongoing costs? Would you project in replacing this stuff then if you were to go this route? Yeah, it's a
okay,
nice,
so
beautiful thing.
He's got that. Right?
Yeah.
So let me go to the main concept. So looking at these costs, concept two, this would be ongoing annual maintenance for concept two. If you did both the rock fountain and the ring fountain to a modified fountain, it is estimated at about $6,500. If we go all concept one to where it's just all re-landscaped, then the annual maintenance costs about $3,000.
If you had to go about and totally replace that fountain that you're proposing to put in with a light because some major element went awry, I don't know, somebody put bubbles in it, who the hell brought it? What would it cost to replace that element, or is that just too broad of a question? Because there's a landscaping part, you did all that, you're going to say the internals got messed up, I don't know what they look like.
It is detrimental to the equipment and the internals, the inside of the piping, but it would take numerous times before it became to the point where we had to do a replacement or repair due to the soap. I mean, over time, it is damaging. The one-time soaping is not going to create us or cause us to replace anything. We just simply add defoamer, dilute some of the water if we have to with fresh makeup water. Once our concentrations are down low enough, then we push forward.
But if you had to replace this, what would be a cost estimate going forward? So, we're going to put this in. We're going to pay $275 for it per your projections. 5 years down the road, whatever. We've got to replace the thing.
Yeah,
right? It doesn't have to be soap. I don't know what breaks these things.
Expected life of the pump and motors are like 10 years?
Well, the previous one lasted about 20 years.
Yeah.
And is that
but it was worked on a lot of times. I mean, that was good maintenance.
Yeah.
I mean, not total renovations, but we had to
sleeves bearings,
and
pipe for
breakage.
About 20 years.
So we had to go
with
for
repairs.
About 20 years with maintenance.
Does the work have to be done? Concept one, concept two. Are they tied? Is concept one of the front tied to concept one of the back?
Yeah, you can mix and match.
You can mix and match, okay. And two, are these costs independent, meaning that if you decide we're only going to work on the front, we're only going to do concept one on the front and do nothing on the back? Or is this assuming that they're tied together, or at least we're doing both at the same time?
Well, each concept is an independent cost.
Okay.
So, if you look at, there's an attachment.
So you could do concept one
estimate broken down.
Front 1 year and concept one back another year.
Yeah.
They're about the same price. Concept ones are about the same price.
Yeah.
The front and back.
Yeah.
One.
Okay. Yeah, you could do concept one on the back and you could do concept.
You could do them different years and
yes.
Granted, there's always inflation and things like that, but based on these estimates, they're not tied to each other in order to achieve these cost savings. Okay.
If we went with concept, I want to talk about more of the on the building. So concept one allows you to make an entry statement, and to put your logo or to name it. And I went and looked at the building itself to see, you know, what you'd be looking at uplighting, let's say, on landscape elements under Concept 1. If you went with Concept 2, is there any... I was looking at the building itself and saying, okay, so you're not putting your logo, you're not putting San Ramon Central Park anywhere. Is there a way to label on the building? You know how we have, you can carry some of the architectural stuff, you got the metal element coming across. If you put that silver element that's coming off of the San Ramon City Hall, have it come off the building, if there was a way to bring, you know, San Ramon Central Park, I don't know if there was a way to do that and to light it. That may be too extravagant, but if you... Most people know where it is. Absent anything on that back wall, is there a way to make to improve the face of the building that maybe says San Ramon Central Park and Community Center up there in that silver stuff? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think we could. That might be...
You know, you're talking
the scope of,
yeah, it is.
Of this or another project all in itself.
And we're going to be doing a major renovation of that facility in like 2-3 years next year. Yeah, so we could take a look at that when we.
If we don't forget what the material is above the window, but that would be nice to put. So no matter what options we choose in front, put it above the archway, above the windows. Mm-hmm. That way.
I want to stay in my lane here, but you're looking at two, you know, the fountain one brings you in, the other one, Concept 1, it's like, hey, that's nice, it's big, I can look at it from afar and I go away from it. The other one kind of brings you towards that fountain, so you got two different things going on if we went with Concept 2. Has the Parks Commission had a chance to comment on this at all?
Not yet. We thought we'd come here first because obviously there's a funding element that we're going to have to take and kind of see where... Okay. What kind of direction do you give us as far as funding this, and then do we want to take it to the Parks Commission next?
Okay. Well, I've been over here adding and subtracting numbers because that's kind of what I do. So if you just went with the Concept 1's paired, 225, the Concept 2's paired, 445. Mm-hmm. The maintenance is a little more, and then there's 150 of just doing the repairs. But the maintenance is $10,000 to $13,000 a year more. Interesting, if you go with the Concept 1's, the maintenance costs then overwhelm the cheaper repair costs by not doing any modifications in 5.7 years. But Concept 2, if you really like that, it makes a lot of sense in that it's 29 years in different maintenance. But it's very expensive. I can't bring myself to recommend Concept 2 with that price tag. It's really nice, but I can't bring myself to recommend something that expensive.
I can't.
I just don't know where you're going to get $500,000.
So I don't know that Concept 2, Concept 1 on the back fountain ring, let's go to that one. That Concept 1's not a water element, is it, on the back fountain?
No, neither of them are water elements.
The second one is a trickle element.
Yeah. So Concept 1 for both sides is really a conversion to landscaping. Concept 2 is maintaining a water control.
If you went with Concept 2 in the front, Concept 1 in the back, then you're... I don't know that the back, necessarily looking at it, is deserved for the space, putting a water element there and then having to deal with that on its own. And then given what you said, so you're hitting that north side, maybe Easter's on a trellis. I don't know what, definitely with the shade, because I've noticed that too. And maybe that's where you go, so it is a sitting area, and you put your focus on the water element in the front of it. And I think Concept 1 is nice. I think Concept 2 is a statement. It's an investment, and it's in something that is used by the community. It's like a Forest Home Farms, anything we're going to put up here now. So 276 may seem like money, but it's an investment in your, it's something in your quality of life. So, you know, $150,000, I mean, have we spent $150,000 on things? Boy, that was not a good investment.
Yeah, well, it looks like we're going to have a split recommendation coming out of this committee.
I was wondering what we got out of the pipe. And I'm okay if we say, hey, you know what, God, money's real tight. We got to go with concept one out. But I think you want to get some feedback from Parks Commission. Did ARB, by any chance, I know Gates is part of ARB. Sometimes those guys can informally give you a good, you know, I know it's the planning, and maybe I'm just kind of thinking, hey, where can you go to get an idea? It does come down, I guess, to money. So, Joe and Maria, what does the money look like? You got a CIP for this?
We put $435,000 in the infrastructure maintenance fund because we didn't have enough to make it the full $1.5 million.
Correct.
And so the infrastructure, and that's where this would be funded. Well, part of it would become out of beautification.
It could be park development fund. It can be city beautification fund.
Okay. Do you have the
how money? Are those funds?
Do you have the money at mid-year to do any or any of these combinations, or are there limitations?
We would have to look at the balance of those funds. I mean, especially the city beautification fund, which is, I think, the one we would look at first. Park development fund, we might have some money coming in with some fees from developers, but we'd have to see where we're at.
If this was coming funds. Primarily out of, or even partially out of infrastructure maintenance fund, I definitely couldn't. I could not recommend the concept twos if that's where if the money was coming out of infrastructure maintenance, and I'd have to know what the balances are in the other funds, and what are the future projects in those, to know what the demands were. If there was $4 million in the park development fund or the beautification fund, and you didn't have a whole lot, you know, drawing on it, then yeah, I might say, you know what, let's go with that.
The number two.
Absent that.
So it would be good to end with the prudent, I agree with my colleague on the prudency of financial decision making here, but it would be good to know, hey, you know what, we can't afford to do this and it's not going to set us way back, or hey, you know what, we do have some other things. I think that's important to know. Again, the community, how long would you expect this to be? So let's say, hey, we want to do this. You said you want to get a mid-year. So walk us forward. What's the timeline for doing a project like this?
Well, I think, first of all, it'd probably take a good couple of months to go through, 2, 3, 4 months to go through design, to go through the full working design. And then we have to look at bidding. And so I'm thinking that between now and mid-year, we could probably get the design and bidding going, and then move forward with demolition and construction beyond that. Or we can wait a year, and we can tie it in with the big community center renovation that we're going to do in 1920.
Okay. So that might be more cost-effective, actually, depending on how much work and the kind of work you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if it's only carpet and paint, that's not the same kind of contractor.
No, we're doing a major renovation to the whole
interior. Okay. Well, it depends to some degree on how much money there is in the funds that would be used. And that's...
I think by mid-year, we probably will have a much better idea of what the park development fund is going to look like and what the beautification fund. I know we have a balance here, but it's projected that we're gonna be getting a whole bunch more, $1 million or something like that in park development funds.
From where?
Fiscal year. Yeah, but at the same time, when you project out 5 years, we go back in the negative. So
1920. Yep.
That's what's estimated right now. So that's why we need to wait till mid-year to kind of see how everything is panning out.
Okay. When do you foresee starting those mid-year deliberations? Isn't that October, November, you guys get into
yes,
that
that's
kind of thing? When do you think, when's the next time you plan on infrastructure meeting? And would there be a chance to follow up on with the infrastructure committee on the numbers for a little more guidance?
Mm-hmm. When?
Yeah, I mean, do you, before you get into that, just next time we meet, I mean, I don't know when the next time y'all meet.
Yeah.
Well, I think we probably, it sounds to me like the, you like concept two, but you don't like the price tag.
Yes, that's right.
So maybe we can move forward with, on a parallel track, throw it through the Parks Commission to give this, with the understanding that there's a significant price difference, then we can crunch numbers over the next coming months to see if there's any way to get to the preferred concept, and if not, then bring it back as this is all we have.
Right. Yeah, I do like the appearance of concept two, front and back, but that price tag is just, it's double.
You like concept two on the back for the water feature?
Sure.
Back to you. And
sure.
I like it, yeah.
Sure.
It's for another 60,000. If you had to cut corners, I'd rather sacrifice the water feature in the back than in the front.
Well, there might be.
That's a pretty small sacrifice on this price tag.
Sure. What's the difference between a Mercedes
That's 15.
Well,
that's
15%. There's, you know, there's other things we can consider, too. Like, I could go back to Gage and say, you know, look, we like this concept in the water feature, but we need to tone it down $100,000 or something. What are our options there?
So we can do some value engineering on it to get the price to
Okay.
And you guys are good. You have your contingency built in.
But, okay.
We will.
But, you know, we're...
I saw that.
But we're paying Gates too, so
yes.
Every time
we hometown
have
discount is Gates. Are there any Gates Associates people in the room? I shouldn't say that on them. Well, he's a great guy. We love him. But this is a special project to his group as well, weren't they?
They were the original
folks.
Yeah.
This, hey, you know, I mean, there's some love there. So
they have
let's
a lot,
see it in
they
the
have
pricing.
A lot invested in it. Yeah.
Okay.
So one consideration, especially on the back, is I've been over there. I don't know, countless times. And I don't know if that back area gets the use that
traffic.
You would even want to deal with a water feature. I mean, it kind of goes with what you like it. It's nice. And if you got the money to do it, then absolutely. But at the same time, I don't see a lot of people going back there.
I don't either. And I'm that's part of the reason I'd like to see some shade there.
That's why
I think it might be more attractive if it were shaded.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's going to create mobs and lines or anything like that. But without the shade, it's just not an attractive place to sit. It's got reflective windows right down on you. I just don't know that that's going to be an attractive place to sit.
Or a perfect hiding spot.
Yeah. Take your six-year-old over there and play hide-and-seek, right?
Maybe you do a shade structure instead of a water feature on that back and look at the temperature.
Yeah, for all the years I've been here, you know, you don't see people spending time out there. So the value of putting a something like that, maybe put the money
up front.
Somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right just now, keep that. Maybe we can approve it just with some new landscaping, some shade.
You know, that may be you may be onto something here, and even you can do the ring rock and all that kind of stuff when you do the actual community center, perhaps. And it's not the high priority. I think I agree. It's that front thing. It's a grand entry. You know, it's a kind of a little state. It's not little, big statement. So I think your resources, if we can make it pan out.
Okay, so do you need to see any more of the fiscal stuff, or are you good with that? Okay, so then what do we do next? We either proceed with the design, request funding at mid-year. I think first we'll go to the Parks Commission, see what they say.
Come back here, and if you can, and give us an update on the funding.
Yes,
and then
we'll
that'll
try value engineering
councils
that second concept. We'll value engineer and see where those numbers end up, and let you know at mid-year.
But you're looking for you're kind of. It sounds to me like you're pretty sure you don't want to do the fountain thing on the back side.
I think you're right. I think concept one makes more sense on the back than. Don't spend any extra money in the back.
And then
back,
clean it up and put some nice landscaping, a little shade, and it, It could be attractive.
It may not be $100,000 worth.
Yeah, we can do that for a lot less. Yeah.
Just do it in-house.
And then,
or are they offended?
And then we'll look at the funding so that you can
sure.
make a decision on the front side.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, we can cover that for now. On to intelligent transportation systems.
Wow, what a read.
Yeah, it was interesting. I enjoyed that.
Wow. I struggled to do it three times.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just have to point out before you mentioned this, Scott, that there are mistakes. There's one mistake in three of the tables. The was it table E1, table 4, table 5, corridor D, the Doherty Road North,
mm-hmm.
it says 1.3 million, and it should say 1.4 million. So it's right in the report, or in the staff report. It's
okay.
just incorrect in the copy.
Okay.
So this plan originated because of all the problems that we're having with the existing signal communication
mm-hmm.
infrastructure, and also the lack of bandwidth to operate the systems that we have and the systems that we want in the future. And we also realized that the needs for traffic are much less than the citywide overall. But we couldn't move ahead with this without including the whole city. So you know, that's how the plan is starting to evolve into more of a citywide
mm-hmm.
Fiber optic network. And so it'll benefit everyone, just not traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to turn it over to Kevin Gigi from Kinley Horn and Associates.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Kinley Horn created the master plan for us. And
sure. Thank you very much for having me this afternoon. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of jokes about the word intelligent transportation system.
Sure.
How intelligent is it? It's red light.
I spent years in the military, and I was always getting military intelligence. Really? That joke, pardon me.
So yeah. So as I said, you know, when we first called by Mike, that we just want to look at the communication system for that, and as we spoke more, it really evolved to, well, maybe we should include other departments and all that. So you know, the purpose of the plan. Evaluate the city's information, communications, and technology systems. So we kind of really cast a wide net, more than just traffic. We want to fill the future needs of these systems and these departments and all that, and the costs based on those needs. Establish a vision. We want to know where the city wants to be, and build a roadmap to implement that vision. So one thing you know about the plan, as we presented today, and we take it through over the next few months, city departments and for approvals. It is a living and breathing document. As of any plan that has the word technology tied to it, it needs to live and breathe. It needs to evolve. It needs to grow and change as technology changes.
You only have to look back 5 years and decide that 5 years ago you were out of date already.
Yeah.
Yep.
Three to 5 years is a sort of a rule of thumb for these types of
mm-hmm.
technology-based plans. But I think, as you can imagine, that timeline is getting shorter and shorter because technology is changing even faster than that. But anyway, I really feel you have a really good plan here, and this is the purpose that we started off with for the next one. I'm going to see if I follow. So in order to move forward with the plan, we wanted to establish goals. What are we trying to achieve with the plan here? It really is to establish a framework to plan, design, and implement a comprehensive fiber optic network. Comprehensive, this is the key word here, includes all city departments, the entire city area itself. The network is produced by all city agencies and departments, also made crystal clear.
Now, I noticed in some of the discussions in the groups you interfaced with included the fire department and the school district, or at least you're mentioning in there that you want to connect with the schools. I don't know if the school district was involved directly, but I noticed you mentioned schools in there. So this really would be beyond. What about the business? The business, commercial businesses in Santa Monica. Have we considered including them?
We actually have considered including them, you know, if they want to lease any of the dark fiber that we have, because we're recommending a substantial backbone, and we don't think that we'll be using all of the fibers in there. So that allows
us... In the commercial districts, do you anticipate we'd use 20%, 50%, or 80%?
That I don't know.
Okay, because if you want to lease out, you're going to have to build... Where we're certainly not even close to 50%, I would think. Because if we're at 80%, nobody's going to want to fiddle with the other 20% because we'll consume that and kick them off.
I think there's a lot of room.
Yeah, just with fiber, there's no real rule of thumb for percentage of business that want to use the fiber itself.
Okay, it's the hardware at the ends.
It's hardware at the ends, and it's also really up to the city. So as an example, in some cities, fiber... They come in groups of 12, as an example. They'll take, and they're called tubes. And a lot of times they'll say, we'll reserve X number of tubes for uses by the city, by a provider like Verizon, or for businesses. And then you usually you parse it out that way. In my experience, you know, 10 to 20% is usually the most that you want to, a city you want to give up to commercial districts and agencies, predominantly as a revenue generator more than anything else. But I think that the key is also how you reserve the fiber itself for the city departments.
Okay.
Because sometimes it's easy to allocate. Police will get one allocation, fire get another, schools another, and then traffic gets the remainder, et cetera, et cetera. So that's usually the most important. And then what's left over is what you can allocate to the commercial districts.
But if there's a potential to generate some substantial revenue, which effectively could pay for the rest of it, then at the time you're pulling it, you pull enough for the revenue generator piece of it.
And that's correct. That'll be the intent of
okay. Keep going. Thanks.
So the plan really will carry the city into the next generation of communication technologies and tools. And ultimately achieve the city smart cities goals.
That's the report I asked for. Is that the one that's the National League of Cities report that was mentioned in the report? On page 3, or packet page 31, it says National League of Cities publications, Trends in Smart City Development. Smart cities are cities that have developed some technological infrastructure. That's the report I was asking for.
Yeah.
You have that. I sent that.
That's the link.
Okay.
When you know,
I missed that email. Sorry.
Just to point that out, and it's interesting. On a big look here, we're talking transportation system. This is a communication more than anything. I think transportation is a means to get that. And I almost, when I was looking at that thing and you said, well, we have smart city goals, I get the transportation network part of it and managing that network. These other cities where they looked at, the reason they were looking at smart cities is data-driven policy and using data from these points that are being collected. And I think that's where the municipal government aspects of those case studies was looking at. In each of them, it was based on data equals better policy decisions. What was, is there anything there that you're looking at in terms of the city, looking out at build-out, being able to, either monetize data collected, or what data do you anticipate collecting that would have any inference to what the smart cities are kind of all about, besides traffic management?
Well, yeah, as you said, when you talk about smart cities, that concept's been around maybe 5 years plus, some smart cities. I think the biggest part of smart cities is a connected city, and there, you know, there's a lot of debate over what is a connected city and what constitutes a smart city. But I'd say as far as the data part, as far as this plan, what this plan does is enable the data to flow to different entities to be available. And when I say that, it could be entities that exist within the city itself or entities that are outside of the city itself. It really provides just the freeway, so the data, the cars, the data itself can travel on that freeway. But it's not driving what data can be provided. It's more, this plan's more to say, hey, if you have this comprehensive fiber optic network and you have the ability to connect these buildings, the data now can actually travel within those buildings and get to where people can get access to it. And that's really what we're trying to achieve with the goal here. Not to say this is the data needs to go from A to B. It's more
I think that's a totally different plan, you know, like another plan.
That's a good way to describe it back to me.
Piggyback on
it. I get it. Yeah. It provides the backbone for whatever you need. It's the infrastructure piece.
Let's move on.
So I want to just slide on the benefits of intelligent transportation systems. Some people kind of figure, well, it's just traffic signals, correct? It's just, but it's really a lot more than that. It's really the transportation system. It results in reduced congestion, enhanced safety, and multimodal management. And what does that mean, reduced congestion? It's the ability for Deb and her team to actually proactively monitor the traffic signals, watch the coordination, see, making sure that things are only working the way they should be working, and if it's broken, getting it fixed, but also it's working as optimally and being proactive. Enhanced safety, this is through the use of video cameras to make sure that information actually gets to people and say, hey, there's a problem here, I'm actually looking at it, let's go send someone out there to go fix it. Multimodal, it's not just about cars, it's about pedestrians, it's about bicyclists, it's about transit, making sure you can actually monitor them and improve their operations, including with buses and all that, and make sure that they're actually getting the green lights that they need to get to if they can. Improving travel reliability, example ITS there is you're trying to get when the next bus is coming, you can pull out your phone and say, yeah, I know my next bus, that's an ITS item. Efficiencies with fiber connecting city facilities, there's actually a cost savings, and I think we identify that in the city. There's a lot of lease line connections, so you can connect these over fiber, you can get rid of those connections and save thousands of year per connection. Frankly.
Yeah, we're according to Rick, we're spending about $11,000 a month.
These costs.
So okay. You'd be able to handle it all within your.
It's $130,000
a year. Well,
that's $130,000 a year. That doesn't cover $24 million. But.
Well, that was $24 million with 35% contingency, which I wanted to ask about because I think.
Trust me. I mean.
Sure, but I
some projects. At this point in time, you want a substantial contingency. Once you get into bidding, then you can reduce it. But
okay.
At this point in time, you have no idea what the problems are.
I guess enables connection and coordination with neighboring agencies. Caltrans is an example of a freeway running with traffic signals, so there's some big connections that can happen there. Assisting emergency responders by providing live video feeds. That seems to be very popular these days. We want to get access to live video feeds. Without a real good ITS network and a comprehensive fiber optic network, there's just not enough bandwidth, as an example, to provide those feeds in a readily available.
What level of resolution do you anticipate these video feeds would be?
If it's on fiber, pretty much the highest resolution you can get.
So 1080 or better?
Yes.
Whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
Well,
whatever your end equipment is.
Right. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, 1080 is
But it's easily capable of 1080 or better.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That makes a clarification that the fiber is not.
Fiber is not the limitation of the equipment, I understand.
So just a real recap on the existing system. This is the traffic signal system. It's very close to becoming functionally obsolete. There's copper cable in the ground. It's.
Does that include our Bollinger and Crow corridor work? I mean, we just spent a couple of $1 million to put that system in less than 10 years ago.
Yes.
And that stuff is obsolete?
Well, it's still running on our copper system. That system itself is not obsolete. It's the copper that it's running off of.
Okay.
It's
a limitation.
Yeah.
And then that copper is actually slow, all things considered, and incapable of providing we call efficient traffic management operations,
okay.
Ability to monitor it.
Yeah, for example, when I bring up the cameras for the adaptive system, they're like on 2 second jumps, you know, whereas if I had fiber, it would be a continuous stream.
Okay.
Replacement parts are difficult to obtain, actually. Copper cabling, the system you have now, it's really the old technology. And a real issue here is staff devotes an excessive amount of time just keeping it up and running, operating and maintaining. Which is what I hear quite a bit when we're developing these plans. It's not, we want fiber just because. It's like, no,
never let Mike tell you.
This is just a flowchart of how the plan was developed. I mean, it's really, we followed a pretty typical process. We looked at what you have. We talked to the agency to see what do you need. What's causing you a lot of frustration with your system and your operations? And then we take those two and say, well, here's what we think you, what you need and how it's going to look like. And then you take what you have, where you want to be, and the difference between those is called the gap. So we identify your gaps. And once we identify the gaps, it becomes the plan to fill in, and then we identify phases of that plan. As you see, you know, we came up with about $25 million for your overall plan. Unless you have $25 million sitting somewhere, you want to phase those out over time. And also, not only that, is we want to prioritize those, which phases go where, because technology could change, and by the time you get to the second or third phase, you want to do it differently. So we acknowledge that fact. So the process, needs assessment. We actually sat down with some city departments and actually one big meeting also. Everyone kind of gave us their needs. Did an inventory of the existing system. We actually, based on the needs and this inventory, determined what the ultimate system would look like. We're just connecting a lot of dots, and where there's no lines, we connected those dots. Identified the gaps based on that ultimate system. And as we looked at the ultimate system, we parsed it out and said, well, how can we make these into more bite-sized chunks of implementation? So instead of $25 million for everything, it's, you know, down to $1 or $2 million per segment, and then prioritize and how they build on each other. I'll have a few slides to talk about that. So the lines in pink is what the city has to be as far as existing underground conduit. Sorry. Actually, have quite
would
a bit
you
of conduit in the ground.
Pull out the existing conductors in those conduits and replace them? Or is this, how does one do that?
It depends. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way it can be done is you want to pull the fiber in with the existing copper so the existing system is still running, or you implement that, and do what we call as a cutover, a stage cutover. You just do one at a time, mm-hmm. move it on, and migrate it from the existing system to the new system.
And then you pull out the copper when it's abandoned in place?
Yeah, you can, and use it as a backup. Or if you're some agencies where they just don't have the physical room in the conduit to pull in new cables, they actually have to take out the existing copper cable and pull in the new. And that just means a lot of their traffic signals are going to be offline for a few months sometimes.
Well, the modems that we are now using are actually fiber as well as Ethernet over copper, so they could be connected right away.
There you go.
So we can connect as we go. That's one of the nice advantages of getting the good modems that we have now, as well as the controllers that are capable to use them. So it's one of the nice advantages we've been piecing together as through maintenance and engineering.
Yeah, forward thinking.
Yes.
So this is what's in the ground today, and the red are existing conduits, new conduits that. Or propose that are proposed as part of the plan to basically connect the entire city.
Those would be the trunk lines.
Those are the trunk lines, yeah. And there's some branch cablings in here, yeah. But for the most part, the red ones are the trunk line connections that you really want to have those connections. The pinks are still there, lines, and then the blues and the light blues are basically what we call branch cables. They're not the trunk cables, they're not essential connections. The fiber cable is probably a little smaller, so it's a little less expensive. Nonetheless, we're trying to maximize the use of existing conduit as possible to save on cost. We took.
One of the things to consider if we use this as part of the security system in the city, which means ALPRs and situational cameras for use, you know, being recorded for security and police work. Things at the entrance to the city are going to need more bandwidth, such as that the one at Hooper Drive in that far northern corner, northwest corner up there. you've got that on a trunk line, and yet you may find that it's going to need to be some, I don't know, or you're going to need more equipment up there. The same thing down in the very southeast at Windermere Parkway. That's an entrance to the city. And so you may find you're going to want to put more emphasis on a few of those places. And that's why I asked the question, what does putting ALPRs and the situational cameras on this system do to the overall capacity or the costs?
The plan included the bandwidth that is needed for the surveillance cameras, correct?
Yes.
So I believe that it should be sufficient.
Okay.
So that but the can cost, look more into
it's
that.
Certainly within the contingency cost here, though the specific equipment associated with ALPRs and security cameras may not be in here. But this is all about putting the infrastructure in, not putting in the equipment itself.
Right.
Okay. So this map basically shows the entire city and numerical assigned recommended prioritization of each of these phases. To name a few, Bollinger and Cocaine would be highest priority, followed by downtown and then Bollinger Canyon, kind of building from the outside, from the inside out, and making those connections.
So I want to clarify that just because of what you just said, and I'm looking at these pages in the back. You just said that, so this is about the infrastructure, but on these cost segments, I want to make sure I'm getting this right. You actually have the costs associated with the camera assembly, video. Do these cost estimates include the cameras that could be ALPRs or not?
No.
So what does it mean when you have a closed circuit TV camera assembly, and you show 12? Is that part of the
which page?
The
second
66.
Okay.
So each of them has CCTV camera assembly on there, and then they have. So is that just it gets it ready for the camera?
No, those are actually traffic surveillance cameras. That's what they're meant for.
This is a different deal than what you're
yes,
talking about.
Yes, this is completely different.
Okay.
You know, we didn't include PD's proposal as part of our plan. I think mainly because when we were developing it, they were developing theirs.
Okay. One of the things I noted was that Executive Parkway and Bishop Drive are not included. Now, granted, that doesn't serve much in the way of a city need, but the distances are kind of modest, and I'd like you to at least know if Bishop Ranch has an interest in serving their customers with fiber optic through this. They could be a source of revenue, and particularly if you said, hey, we'll connect you with all the rest of this stuff, but I need your help on putting in the Executive Parkway link or the Bishop Drive link. So if you could at least contact them and see where their interest lies, recognizing it may or may not be. Now, they're going to have autonomous vehicles, and buried in all of this autonomous vehicles, there's some potential for connectivity, and I noticed it was mentioned here a couple of times that there will be times when having this kind of connectivity around town could be very helpful. So I'd like you to at least bring this to their attention and see if they have interest, and if expanding parts of this and at their cost, or at least their contribution, or maybe I don't know. I don't want to put limitations on how they participate, particularly if they're going to be they can kick in a few million dollars.
I'm not positive, but I think they already have a pretty significant fiber optic network within Bishop Ranch.
Okay.
So we could still certainly go talk to them.
Yeah. Because some of these things, you've got new fiber optic or new conduit
going down Al Costa through near Bishop Branch 15. And if they've already got conduit, then we may not need to put in new conduit. So one way or the other, I'd like to know that they've seen this and they're either not interested at all or there is a partnership or opportunity.
Okay.
Any questions on that? I know it's just kind of a splash, but
so that was the thing that caught my eye was the gap around Executive Parkway Bishop Drive.
Does it help as I was reading this document, there was inferences, but the Crow Canyon Road was seen as the number one priority, and you mentioned several reasons why. And unless I missed it in any of the documentation, which I very well could have, you didn't mention anything about it's the main access road for our police and fire to get out on, besides Bollinger. Does that aid you in having that language is peppered throughout this document when it comes to funding opportunities? Because what's your source of funding? You want this for that, and then maybe you're able to branch off into the safety aspect of it.
Yeah, I think that. Every bit of
grant writers love it when you check more boxes. Yeah. I mean, you guys know that. So I'm wondering putting that in there. And you mentioned the school component, and I was looking at some of the stakeholders' signalization priorities. And I think because around schools, we want the best safety protocols for our kids, whether pedestrian lighting or what have you. SCC JEPA money, are we done with that? Is there any hidden away that we didn't spend, and can that money be
I think the remaining money is pretty much for the
Crow Canyon.
SB1 money, is it? I'm maybe jumping ahead on funding, but
that's pavement. I don't see that.
So pushing. Traffic management is mentioned in that stuff, and I think you
want to
look.
Yeah, but we need to have our PCI is not.
You have to get over 80 average. Get there. Question: why you didn't connect Bollinger all the way up to Crow Canyon in that western side?
That was a thought.
That creates another one of those rings that are so helpful when you have a cut in a line. You go, holy crap! Now, out on Bollinger at the far end, out the far west, where. Guess what? You got an EOC out there with the fire department, and PD is out there, and that cable gets cut. You got no ring to back you up.
I absolutely agree with you, and we brought that up when we were finalizing the plan, and it just ended up not making it into it, but we can certainly add it in there.
Well, even if it's line number 12,
yes.
I think you ought to add it, like I said, even if it is line number 12. But it adds a ring that creates a connectivity. And out there at that far left corner, that's fire department, police department, city engineers. I mean, that's your office, for God's sakes, right?
Right.
And if somebody cuts that line out there in front of Home Depot, your screens go blank.
Yes, they do. You are right. And we will put that in there.
Yeah.
We will add that.
Don't you think, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, agree.
Even if it's line number 12. I mean, if it just falls all the way to the bottom.
Yep.
And you say that's another $2.1 million. Okay, so that brings the whole thing up to 26.5 or 6.
But you're protecting the command center.
But, yeah. I mean,
in essence, right?
Right.
Because your point.
We've got an emergency generator out there, but.
You have PD and fire.
Well, there's the city runs off. Some of the PD stuff is on fiber, but it's AT&T or whoever we're dealing with between the communication comm centers and stuff. So
it's
not city owned, though.
Yeah, let's put that on the list. And
can I ask
go ahead. That's
fine. About prioritization here in looking at why you prioritize some of these things. Anything out in Doherty Valley is newer development. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, Matt, you may have done signalization. Just when you looked at that, did you look at I'm sure the age of what was out there and say, well, boy, this can go, or, when we start looking at where you actually want to put dollars? Because to me it would seem like that one corner of the city that we just talked about, I really want to make sure that fire and police and the 2401 complex, as it were. It is not number 12 on priority list then, right? I mean, I don't know, but did the age of what's out there versus what's not out there, did that drive that at all? And is that effective when you're looking at this? Or did you say, hey, it's some of the stuff in Doherty Valley, even though it's newer development, it's already outdated stuff? Because you prioritize it.
So that equipment out there is the same as in the classic San Ramon.
Okay.
So based in 1969, that's when the original design was of the 170 controller. So part of the whole thing that we're talking about is hardware being obsolete. They no longer make those controllers. You can't buy any new ones. You might be able to find some used ones with some suspect chips. So as you know, as traffic signals, they operate 24/7, 365. So one of the reasons that, you know, we started going to the 2070, the brand new controllers, much more capability. There's so many firmware and hardware limitations with the old 170 controllers that all communicate at 1200 baud. So you can't even get anything 1200 baud anymore. It's laughable. So that's that. All that equipment.
90% of the universe has no idea what 1200 baud is.
Yes.
I don't know what 1200 baud is.
So,
sorry, Harry.
What is bot? No, I'm not going to get to know that. I'm going to walk out here being keeping a secret. I don't know. Yeah.
So, it's using the noisy
modem.
It's using the noisy
modem.
You're using
dial-up.
Yes. You're doing DSL, right? I mean, do you check your email on that as well? No, I mean, I saw that. So that's what you're referring to. The call up line.
Old AOL.com.
Yeah.
I mean, I still use some dial-up on a couple of our corridors.
Do you really?
Wow. Okay. So yeah.
That's sad.
Specific plans. As we get the construction going on and you've got areas in the city where you're going to have specific plans, you start looking at, you know, this kind of thing. We were doing the fee analysis with our consultants, maybe at the traffic and communications fee on these new dwelling units, or else you're pulling off the CFDs and you're doing this. Why am I keep jumping to funding? Here's my question. A, obviously you're going to need to get funding. If you're doing grants, it might be matching. What's the longevity? You said this right kind of at the beginning. Well, this stuff could be 3 to 5 years. I don't know what we're looking at. You said, hey, we have stuff now. It's going to interconnect real nice. You went out and said, hey, we have an opportunity to really maximize buying power because we can take a chunk of these high priorities and borrow. And put it as part of a debt package long term. Do these type of systems lend themselves to the longevity that we would be looking for if you included it in a debt package, a city's capital needs package or whatever, if you're ever going to go down that route, you understand what I'm getting at. I think, what's the longevity of the system we're looking at, and would it even qualify for that type of thinking if you need money and able to lump packages together?
Well, we're looking, even if you look at like cellular companies, they use fiber for all their communications. You know, I mean, even though your cellular communications through the air, they're ultimately going through fiber optic cables. I think it is a really good investment. Fiber optic isn't going to go anywhere. I mean, the benefits of the security of a fiber optic network are much greater than what we have now. As you know, you've got the security network assessment attached, which I was going to talk about. I think it's the next slide, actually. It will, you know, save the city money on all their leased lines that they're using, and I want to go like historical. I know like 20 years ago they were installing fiber in Las Vegas, many of the cities that are surrounding us are either have some fiber optic infrastructure and are installing more because of, you know, the needs of the traffic technologies. You know, needing the larger bandwidth and the better quality. So
So there's a lifespan to this stuff that would suggest that you could have opportunities to make long-term investments with money for a resource like this and to do this kind of work that would over time have a lot of benefits, among them being a little bit of return on investment, a return on the money put out because your lease, you're not doing leases and this type of thing. I mean, I think if you're decision makers going forward, you guys can obviously come and do the grant thing, you know, and finding where we can find niches to pay for this over time. You know, you've got your CFDs now because some of this the construction booth coming on, but it just seemed like a lot. And you break it up into 12 projects, I mean, so over 12 years, you could have a 12 to 15 year CIP. If you felt the opportunity to quicken the pace, could you look at this as part of something if you were to analyze capital needs and infrastructure for COPs or long-term debt obligations? And that's why I put it out there. And what would that be, and does it fit? Scott will be deciding on in the future.
I want to point out that the payback's only 192 years, so we're really on track.
And that calculator, I'm going to bury you with that.
And the DSL technology is also becoming obsolete. It's getting harder and harder to get DSL, and it's more expensive to operate DSL.
Yeah, well, the thing that attracts me is that I'm not an electrical engineer, and I don't understand all of it, but I recognize that fiber optic has few limitations, at least in today's technologies, and you can update the controllers and the switches and things that go at the end, and those things keep improving, but people have been using the same fiber optics for long time now, and so putting in fiber optics isn't your limitation. Once it's in, and you just get to, you'll be coming back in 5 or 10 years saying, oh, we need new controllers, we need this. Okay, I understand. But you can't get there with copper, and you can't get there with all the other things. Mm-hmm. So this is something we're going to have to do.
Yes.
The question becomes, and I love the way you've prioritized things, but yes. The trick is, how do you finance it? Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to see if we could engage with Bishop Branch and see if there was, if you could double or triple their, you know, that $130,000, if you could get more money out of them, that would be great.
That's a great idea, too.
So this table is just the priorities with the cost and you know, one thing, your order of magnitude, your planning level.
Right.
Yes, there is a 35% contingency. It includes design, engineering, environmental. So it's an all-encompassing cost. One thing you know is the first one is significantly higher than the next two for the most part. But your first phase is usually the most expensive because that's when you start getting your central system built out in anticipation of the subsequent phases. So you know, you're going to have to get your new computers, and you're going to get a new video management system for the cameras. That's going to, you know, all those get, you know, invested up front in the first phase. And the hope is that as you go on to the next phases, the contingencies can get lower, the costs get better. The costs that seem to be going up no matter what is the conduit in the ground that never goes down. But that is going to be the bulk of your cost, is the conduit in the ground, which is the most significant investment, including the cable itself.
So the contingency, and then looking at that as a decision maker of it. When I went through this, I was like, are these numbers inflation adjusted? Then I went to the small print and saw the 35% contingency and said, they sure are. But like, explain that to me then, because if you're going to have this adopted as a document that's a living document, and you and the financial part is where you're going to be the real key point for folks is where do you get that money? And so that 24 million number, and some had contingencies that were less. I think one had you had a couple of areas, but saying 35% contingency I got. But what does that mean? What does that mean? Because somebody goes, so that's $8 million of contingency money in this plan. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
For the most part, contingencies are just things that are unknown.
Overruns, I get it, right.
So, yeah, and that's a perfect example. There's conduit that's in the ground that we expect to be okay. There's going to be a percentage of that is not ready for fibers, you know, adjustments. Mentioned equipment. Some equipment may be deemed okay, but then you want to replace them because they might be end of life by the time you get to that first phase. And just a lot of unforeseen. That's the first thing. But going back to your comment about this is a present day cost. This is not taking into future investments and bringing it back. It's just what it costs today. And when I mentioned it being a living and breathing document, when you update this plan 3 to 5 years from now, that number is going to be adjusted based on those days going right to the time. So we can only guesstimate what we can guesstimate today with that contingency. So a large part of it is covering what we don't know, those unforeseen conditions, because in the end,
when they go out in the field and they actually start doing measurements on pool boxes, and you find out that you've got a pool box and it's got too small a radius, so you thought you were going to be able to reuse that pool box, and you find out, no, I got to double the size of the pool box, so now you got to go excavate. And so your design cost just went up, and simply because you got to double the size of a pull box because the radius on your cable is
can't manage.
So you'll find things like that. It happens.
I get it. I'm just wondering for the policy consumption out there for the public and decision makers.
This is
you're going to get asked, what is it?
This is much easier, though, than teaching eighth graders.
Yeah,
this is just engineering. Eighth graders are really all over.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Very nice.
So, while we were working on the ITS master plan, we decided to have a network security assessment done in parallel, and that was done by a completely different consultant. So, neither of them were talking back and forth to each other. And it was just a high-level evaluation. And the conclusion and recommendations from that was that the existing traffic network configuration is a high security risk. And having at a minimum a direct connection from the existing infrastructure out there to the building, or a radio connection reduces our exposure to the internet and to any types of hacking or anything like that. And it ultimately, the whole network on a whole would eliminate the leased DSL lines. And as we discussed before, the unused fiber could be used or leased by businesses and other facilities.
Did we update our passwords as identified in the report?
I'm working on it.
Yeah, this is an enlightening probably for you guys to look at, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're definitely going to use the recommendations that they have, especially for keeping track of all the equipment and the serial numbers and everything, because we have 99 signals. And
is that a build out number? Are we at 99?
We are at 99 right now, and we've
got a
couple more.
Okay.
There's probably about 110 if you count all the CIP projects.
Okay.
There's places
Veracruz
now Costa needs one.
They said some pretty straightforward things here in the security assessment in terms of protocol. Do you have the funding to immediately deal with some of these things that need, central layer 3 switch router, this, that, and the other? I mean, of these things where you can take care of with your, you had a whole list of things that you got to start doing stuff now. It seemed immediate. I wrote immediate on it. I'm like, what's this? So is that,
yes,
able to address this here?
In the next couple of years. Just a budgeting. I mean, we can come and ask you for
I should send you a copy of it. I sent it to Rick. There was a fascinating article about a very malicious software that was created in Ukraine to target a particular organization, but it was so malicious that it propagated itself
to the Maersk shipping line, which actually controls 92 ports around the world, and those ports were shut down for a week. This is a multi-billion dollar, they lost $300 million in a week because this malicious software bounced from place to place to place to place to place. And it took 15 seconds to completely destroy the entire network of computers. And if we're prepared to live with a complete meltdown of our traffic signals, I'm sure that we can go on for a couple of years.
Specifically to what Scott's on, but network topology, and I'm reading that section there on 2.3, and they say this is greatest security risk. Now, maybe I'm too alarmed, but that's my job up here. Simply put, using VPN is not going to cut it, blah, blah, blah. And then they recommend things here. Now, are these things that cannot be done immediately? Are there things that can be done immediately to mitigate the security risk, or is this entailed with throwing DSL fiber optics down?
A little bit of both.
Are there things you can separate to lessen the security risk to the agency and traffic management now, where you don't have money for it?
The one thing that the assessment talked about was providing a connection from Crow Canyon Road, our existing interconnect there, into the building, and thus eliminating the lease lines, and also having a VPN into the signal systems. And that entails trenching in, adding conduit, and then adding the interconnect cable. So that's not something that I can just pull out of my operating budget. I wish I could.
This isn't PC-matic.
But like some of the switches, that equipment, that isn't as expensive, and like Jose and I have been working between our budgets to get these types of equipment. But we can definitely put something together and come to you with a proposal to get that first link fixed.
This is going back to what you said about that corner of the city where you got 2401 sitting there, and you've got these things that originate out there to go do all this stuff, and then you have a prioritization, Crow Canyon Road. And I'm just kind of at a big picture level going, where in an area with limited resources already do you, because traffic management is one thing, but now you're dealing with the security of your system and really the starting point of your system. Is the starting point of your system at 24-1? Am I naive in that?
No. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so it seems like the starting point has to be prioritized in terms of resources. And is this document state that and show us that?
Well, this is going to take $3 million to make that connection.
No.
That you were talking about.
No.
Okay.
That's in a few hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, it went in the ITS master plan. Doesn't have that as a specific project. I mean, this is just the big picture. I mean, that cost is included in the Crow Canyon corridor.
Right. Maybe that ought to be priority 1A.
We can definitely do that.
Pull that one out and call that priority 1A. Because that connection plays multiple dividends, not just in connectivity, but in security as well. And it's possibly manageable within some of our city resources. And we won't have to wait 1-2 years for grants and things like that to come through. Whereas the rest of this stuff we'll probably have to wait for external funding sources. I don't know where we can get this kind of money out of the budget.
Yeah.
But little pieces that make a lot of sense could be funded.
Okay, yeah, and another thing that we hadn't mentioned that probably should be mentioned is when a developer has to install a signal like the Purdue an SRVV signal, we are now requiring the developers to install fiber optic up to that traffic signal.
Okay. From where?
They're going to have to install it from SRVV in Deerwood, Fostoria.
Okay.
So just that little segment.
Sure.
And then we've been trying to get... is it Toll Brothers who are still
working out in Windermere or in Doherty Valley to install a fiber connection from Trumpet, no, Hibiscus, mm-hmm. Rancho Loop North, all the way up
to Doherty.
Okay. Yeah, all the conduits in there, they just don't have any there right now.
Okay.
So yeah, we're putting it on the developers to
Good.
Install that too.
Good.
Mr. City Manager, I guess, and Scott, I mean, this is, we did a fee thing, we did a big deal, and the council, I think, passed it earlier this year when we assessed a lot of fees, and we re-looked at those, and we created fees when they were justified, an open space fee. Now, you don't want to over-fee, but, you know, you're looking at some substantial money here. Another funding, do you look at doing a fee, a nexus fee study on new development? Could you have this above and beyond a CFD or whatever and put this in there? Well, quite frankly, we do a public art fee. I mean, I'm not going to editorialize. But in terms of priority, so can we look at it? At the reality
where
of
would this fit
study,
in a fee structure?
Could we do
or could it?
Could
it
we
fit
create
in?
Something here on new development above and beyond?
Could it fit into one of our
existing
fee structures?
Because I know you got TIF and I know you got, but didn't it?
Well, there's no legal reason why we couldn't add that as an infrastructure fee.
To the CFD?
A question.
Maria?
Well, I think to follow up what Deb was saying, that we are already requiring the developers to install it, so it is the direct need for that development. Sure. So we're getting what we want based on those conditions of approval that we're putting on the developers. Sure. By creating a fee,
then it takes it off of their
it
plate.
It might take
it
off of them, and then we may have to put it in, and then we may have to, you know, build up a certain amount of money to install it.
It
so
may be better to leave it where it is.
It seems like it's working. Okay. I mean, do you
I mean, if we collected $48,000, you aren't going to go anywhere with that. But if you put it on them, they install it wherever it needs to be installed because of their impact.
I'm thinking more of an add-on to
an
that.
Add-on?
An add-on to that, not only just because it's a communication thing. Ask the question, get a great response. I mean, very good. Yeah. Internally, keep looking. I mean, to see, hey, what
sure.
we really can do. Is there justification for us to look at that? I would like that you guys look.
Okay.
Okay. So then we come to Verizon. Martin, do you want to talk about this?
Sure,
I'll take
this one. I'm here, actually. We sort of touched on the fact that we should be partnering with other folks to finance some of this infrastructure. And we touched on the fact that the carriers, the Verizons and the AT&Ts of this world are going to be needing fiber optics for their emerging technologies, including the small cells that we're going to be hearing a lot more about in the near future. So we've been approached by Verizon with a application for an encroachment permit to install their network, which is going through Contra Costa County and beyond. They've already started in the Martinez Concord area with bringing their trunk lines and everything through those communities. And now they're proposing to bring it through San Ramon. We've been talking for the last couple of months about what we can get as an opportunity as they come in. Tried to talk them into just throwing in some fiber for us, but that's really not part of their business model to give away infrastructure. But the one advantage that we do have is that they're going in and they're doing a lot of the trenching, et cetera,
right.
within the public right-of-way, which would save a significant amount of money for if they would have just put in an extra conduit for us, extra and parallel. So we're looking at that, and the price that we've basically come down to is about 56 cents per square foot, which...
Square foot or linear foot?
Linear foot, excuse me.
Okay.
56 cents per linear foot. It's been
okay.
too long since I've done this. Which is about, just under $3,000 a mile, which is a pretty significant savings, I would imagine, in terms of getting that. Some of the areas that might be affected by that, it doesn't cover the entire priority list, but there are, for example, the downtown segment, the San Ramon Valley Boulevard North segment, parts of the Alcosta Road might be put in at that point. San Ramon Valley Boulevard South segment may also be. And the Doherty Valley Road North segment. So all of those could be, are potentially right. ones that we could partner with Verizon on. Mm-hmm. And also including that section that you were talking about at Bollinger and Crow Canyon. Mm-hmm. So those are areas that they're looking at and proposing to put in. If we could get at least the conduit going, and
right.
maybe some handholds, then that would be a big start in terms of getting this thing
done. You're looking here at 3-inch conduit, and I assume this is the installed cost of $65 per lineal foot. Am I getting that right? That's the installed cost, and you're talking 59 cents per.
Now that's a conduit. That's just the
conduit. Yeah, and that's what this is. Yeah. This is 3-inch conduit, $65, yeah. and you're talking.
We're talking pennies.
Pennies. One hundredth of the cost.
Yeah, so it's a significant. If we can pull this together, we're working on getting that.
We ought to find the money for that.
Yeah.
And getting the money done.
Even if we aren't pulling the conduit the next week, or putting in the switches and the other equipment, wherever they want an encroachment permit,
worthwhile. Yeah.
We're right there.
Do we charge these utilities money? To do that?
Encroachment permits? Yeah.
We charge them?
Yeah, unless they have a franchise agreement or something like that. Where
does Verizon have a franchise
I don't agreement? Think they have such an agreement.
If they didn't have one, and you're sitting there and you charge them, you say, hey, you want an encroachment, walk me through this. You want an encroachment permit? Yeah, pay us some money and fill out some paperwork. Okay, they do that. And then they're going to charge us 56 cents a month. What if you waive the encroachment permit money? Or is that just not even applicable? It's not apples and oranges.
Right.
They proposed to make this two separate agreements. One, the encroachment permit process, and then two, their I think they're calling it the supplemental infrastructure agreement. Or some
I mean, you just look at San Ramon Valley Boulevard South, 16,000 lineal feet. That's $10,000 versus $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. It's definitely worth pursuing. There may be other costs involved
if you take all of the 3-inch conduit lines that they're looking at,
there's the big
three or four, maybe $5 million worth of conduit costs in here.
Yes.
That goes down to $50,000 or $100,000 or something.
On our part.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
That's a big deal.
Let's say, yeah. Yeah, Verizon, new number one.
That's 20% of this cost. So,
yeah. So yeah, we're
20% of the cost goes down to 0.5%. Okay.
So we're going to pursue this aggressively.
Absolutely.
And hopefully sure. It'll come to fruition.
Right.
Martin almost had fiber out of him, but he was close.
You have leverage. You have 80,000. How many? You got 32,000 residents here in commercial. If you want to do, I mean, you got to sell them. They have something. They want. Go get them.
Well, they start talking small cells,
yeah.
Are they going to under the law right now?
Yes,
the law we almost had wouldn't have worked, but under the law we have right now, they got to come back to us.
So we're small cells.
Discussions with them on small cells.
Yes. We are also talking.
We're friendly to Verizon if they're bringing trenches and whatever. I like that. AT&T, now they've done their fiber optic stuff through the city. And
they've been a little more resistant, actually, than Verizon has, but we're going.
Make a deal with Verizon, they won't be too resistant when they lose customers. That's how it works.
Well, they're saying that they have pretty much the infrastructure that they need in place, but we'll see what we can get out of them as well.
They come to us and want to put a small cell up? We'll talk again.
Long permitting process.
Mm-hmm. I got to hand it to Maria and everybody else and Joe. Every time one of these guys came and wanted to put something up, I really admire the fact that you guys pushed back a little bit,
and we got something for it. know whether it's landscaping, because we got a lot of landscaping done around cell towers and other things, and we got lease payments, and so you've been successful in doing that, so you know how to do it. Don't need me to teach you, that's for sure.
Okay, so the next steps is to incorporate your comments into the ITS master plan, and then we're going to take it to the TAF, presented TAF, and we'll bring it back to the city council for approval.
Wonderful.
And after that, we'll incorporate the project.
Okay, so a couple of things we were talking about then. One was to create priority 1A, that the little link, priority 12, which is finish the Bollinger link, and go see Bishop Branch and see if what interest they're in, and last but not least, go see Verizon and see how hard can we squeeze them, and how much of this can we get them?
We are doing the Verizon. Martin's all over.
Yeah, well, good. I mean, that's...
That'll be part of the plan, but it's,
good.
It's ongoing.
That's ongoing. Good.
And then anything you can do today with your network in terms of identifying resources.
Security issues.
Mid-year or what have you, where you got to get off that VPN or whatever.
Okay.
Excellent. Post-it notes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Excellent.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay.
Very nice.
Let's see. What do we got? Committee member comments.
I want to see for future infrastructure agenda items. We have touched on this concept of is it worth, and I think to have you guys analyze, is it, do you have the impetus, do you have capital projects where funding's an issue, we know there's a need, and we'd like to start doing some analysis with the infrastructure committee going forward about that and see, hey, we want to, one of the things we said we want to do is continue to look at unfunded CIPs and to say, hey, of those, what are things that you could potentially look at that we'd like to bring to your attention that we think, A, are a need, B, we really don't have an answer for funding, and C, they have a shelf life or a longevity life that would be appropriate for decision makers to look at it as something for a long-term debt project or what have you. I think it's important to start that dialogue. I think if my colleague concurs, that's probably something that's going to take a while so that there's an assessment there. Maybe you're cleaning up the CIP because you've got some things in there that you say, we're not going to do. That was one of the things when we were talking about why, one of many things to talk about, why to create this committee. It was looking at the CIP's unfunded things. Is there an opportunity? So I'm wondering, as an agenda item, if that and that probably why I won't maybe see it or not. But for this committee and decision makers to understand and to be able to evaluate and analyze and prioritize and go from there. There's value to.
You know, there may be some unfunded CIPs that either for whatever reason they just hang on the list, but really they have no future value. They should have been eliminated. You know, we've got this $49 million unfunded CIPs, but yet you find $4 or $5 million that are just,
you don't,
they're never going to happen. It's silly to put them. And then there's others that we ought to be able to reprioritize and say, you know what, we need to go find money or find a way.
Find a way. And so that you start that process.
There's value in that.
There's value in that for staff to start assembling. I think it's something so. And excellent job. I know Deborah and Marie, you guys have been working on this traffic signal thing for a while. And great job on the idea grant with the team. Mm-hmm. This is very much needed. I'm really glad to see this go.
Yep.
And same with the fountains, Jeff.
Yeah.
City's looking good.
Yep.
In front of Forest Home Farms, we'll get out there, man. You got a lot of things are looking good. We look forward to getting this fountain thing done.
Yep. Thank you. Unfinished business? None. Okay. Thank you very much. Have a good evening. Appreciate your time. Sorry I was late. Call Catherine Baker. Tell her.